welcome, Jalpa, to an episode of The Dating Culture. Before we even get into it, I actually just want to let everybody know that I've actually never met Jalpa in person, but her and I are so energetically connected. Thank you for being on today's episode. Jalpa, why don't you share with us a little bit about who you are and what you do? And yeah, tell us a little bit.
I'm so honored to be here. I agree. I think last year, a lot of us went through a lot of self-reflection and self-assessment. And in that, I think we really opened up portals for us to really meet people that are aligned with what we believe in, where we want to go. And I think we learned who we are in a deeper way. And so I feel like the connections I've made, even if we haven't met in real life yet, in person, it still feels so real. So thank you for having me. And I'm so grateful to talk about this because these conversations are so necessary. And I think a lot of the population is seeking to have more of these conversations. I am a Reiki master teacher. I'm an integrative nutrition coach and an occupational therapist, which I am phasing out of actively. And, you know, going into a practice of my own and phasing out of Western medicine and using my education in Western medicine and marrying it with Eastern teachings has been profound and so helpful for me to heal a lot of my stuff. And I think it's played such a big role in who I've become. And in that, obviously, that plays a role in how I show up in relationships.
That's beautiful. I feel like you and I especially were obviously drawn to each other because, technically today I'm officially a Reiki master.
Congratulations. Amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel like you and I were kind of just naturally drawn to each other because there was just a lot of like, you know, obviously us being in the Reiki space together and then obviously just like having those really in-depth conversations just about feminine, masculine energy, like just who we are, what our purpose is, everything. Like you and I kind of just like from the jump just had those conversations, which is why I felt like just naturally gravitate, like I just felt naturally pulled to, you know, having this friendship. And I think, you know, obviously energetically, like I feel like our souls just like know each other, you know.
For sure.
Definitely.
It's lifetime together.
Oh my God, I know. Like the depths in which our conversations go are so wild. And I'm so excited to have that live today so people can actually hear. But you know, obviously another reason outside of like our energetic connection, that I felt called to having you on today's episode is because, you know, we're both in our early mid 30s and navigating the dating world. And especially as South Asian women. So, you know, I guess, it's like, where do I even begin? Because there's so much, you know, let's just start with just general, like trials and tribulations that you felt you had to overcome culturally being a spiritual South Asian woman.
For me, it started with being honest with myself about how I felt about the institution of marriage and dating and what relationships look like. Growing up, I didn't see a lot of great examples of healthy relationships or relationships where there were equal partnerships and both of you wanted the best for each other. It was, there was a lot of wounds that were being projected and a lot of gender roles and cultural stereotypes that I witnessed, and not all of them were bad. A lot of them were good and a lot of them worked, but I really had to get honest with myself in understanding what is my truth, what makes sense to me and what makes me feel alive. There was a long time in my 20s where I just didn't want to be in a relationship because I truthfully didn't witness any benefits. And it took me a long time to heal my masculine and my feminine wounds and really understand myself and see that there are such profound benefits to your soul evolving in the right partnership. Mm-hmm. First, we must get clear on what it is that we find of value, what my values are. And in that, you attract a partner that is the right fit for you. There is no right or wrong. And a lot of it is letting go of judgment and just being open to, and being open and honest about what your truth is. And I think that's been my biggest journey in unlearning so much of societal conditioning about what a man does, what a woman does, what they provide, what you bring to the table. And then in a relationship, what that looks like. And I literally, I believe, had to unlearn majority of it so then I can actually allow myself to be happy in a relationship, because the old paradigms, like, they just didn't seem attractive to me.
Mm-mm. Yeah. They are not attractive to me either. And if we look at this from, like, if we like take a step back, right? A friend of mine had said this so perfectly. He was like, our parents were like stuck in this time capsule from like the 90s or 80s or, you know, whenever they came here, and they left with just one kind of mindset. And then they came here and they're like, okay, this is the mindset that we apply here going forward. Right. And so we as children of our immigrant parents are like, wait a minute, we're so confused. Like even our cousins in India are like, even their parents aren't this strict, you know? I wanted to touch on something you said earlier about like figuring out your feminine and masculine. Talk to me about like feminine and masculine energy and like also like what that means to you and how you had to overcome like balancing out your feminine and your masculine, just as, you know, even let's pull aside dating, like just you as a human.
So feminine and masculine energies are not really a gender in the yogic spiritual world. They're traits. So masculine traits is more yang. It's about achieving, doing, action. And then feminine energy is more yin, which is creative, flow, receiving. And for me, the biggest struggle, I'm the oldest child of three girls. I am an immigrant myself. I was born in India. We came here when I was 5 years old. And so, you know, I went through the immigration journey with my parents there. And as I'm sure a lot of people can relate, like, and a lot of our parents can attest to, like, there is some immigration trauma. There is obstacles of starting fresh in a new country and having a lot of fear associated with a lot of insecurities. And so I always felt like I had to take on the role of doing, achieving, being there for my parents. So a lot of masculine, a lot of yang energy. And in that, it created, you know, just this dynamic, this identity and personality where it was just, there was just so much masculine, but then it evolved to masculine wounds. And then my feminine energy was so suppressed because I didn't know how to receive and how to flow. It was just a lot of like pushing through, and that's very unnatural for me, but it was the circumstance and the environment that I grew up in, and at nobody's fault. It was just how things, that's just how the cards played themselves out. And when it came to relationships, it was definitely tough to receive, which throws off the man's masculine and feminine energy, right? Like if I'm coming in with a lot of masculine, then the yin and the yang are imbalanced.
Right.
And so for me, it was going through first understanding what a masculine and a feminine energy is and how that plays a role within us. And it took me a long time to even understand that it's safe to be in my feminine. Because I was so conditioned and my reality was so much pushing through, achieving. I thought that if I was in my feminine, I wouldn't be able to achieve my goals and that I would not be able to provide for myself. And it took me a really long time to heal those masculine wounds and really just understand the masculine and the feminine for what it is, that the feminine is not meek. It's not weak. And it's not passive by any stretch of the imagination. It's very powerful. It's a creative expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, and I'm sure for a lot of women, we can actually achieve more in our feminine. We can mm-hmm. create more and expand to our power in our feminine. And so once I started working on that, it was much easier to be in a relationship because in a very primal, natural way, the masculine wants to give and the feminine wants to receive. And so once I opened up that energy, it was easier for relationships to flow.
That's so beautiful. I know. And thank you for clarifying that. Because I know sometimes people get confused with like masculine being only associated with a man, mm-hmm. And feminine energy only being, you know, related to a female. And you and I talk about this all the time. It's like, anytime we experience anger, fear, frustration, any sort of negative emotion, there's an energy block there. And that's why we do the work that we do. And that's why we're passionate about the work that we do, because we're all just a society, just trying to get to a place of just like love. Right. And not like love, like I'm in love, but love that's just forever flowing, and love that's for like, that you're able to like unconditional love, essentially. Right. Mm-hmm. We're all trying to come to a place where we can just have unconditional love, because we know those negative emotions, literally destroy our minds and our bodies.
I was just going to add that I believe, and in my experience, when we as women show up powerfully in our feminine, it gives the man more permission on a very subconscious level to show up in his powerful masculine.
Mm.
Like in today's modern world, like our generation is really, we're pioneers in the work-life balance and, you know, that whole having a domestic life, being mothers, but then still having a killer career. Like we are the first generations that's pioneering that, and we're all figuring it out as we go along, including the men, right? Because a lot of men haven't witnessed women of this expression before. And so for us to also take full responsibility that, like, when we show up in our powerful feminine, the man also is able to show up in his powerful masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to turn on your masculine at work and sort of, you know, do your thing, but in our personal relationship, it's okay to also receive and turn on that feminine power, and neither is weaker or better than the other.
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny that you say that, because so I have been noticing the more and more interactions I have with like new, like people that I'm meeting, like I'm, you know, just generally even like in the dating space, when I'm meeting men, it's so quick. Like I can tell so quickly, like, oh, you've faced your demons this time around.
Yeah.
You've had no choice but to deal with your like internal blocks, right? Because a lot of like the men around me, or like even new men that I'm meeting, like in the dating world, they're just, it's like this overflow of emotions. And I'm like, wow, this is just so beautiful to watch them just let their emotions flow and talk about what they experienced during the pandemic and talk about what they learn. And I'm like, these are such nourishing conversations, you know, and I highly, highly encourage everyone, not just men, like men or women, right? Highly encourage people, for people to be more emotional, you know, because that is where like the emotions just flow. And that is where we like tap into deeper spaces within ourselves. Right. But yeah, on that and releasing emotions, I would love for you to share, you know, share your thoughts on releasing guilt. How did you learn to release guilt? Because there's so much guilt that we hold as children of immigrant parents. Mm-hmm. You know, how did you navigate releasing guilt? And then how would you also give suggestions to people out there on how to release that?
Guilt is a very interesting one, because we naturally feel it, but also I believe that we're conditioned in society to feel guilt. Like, how many times do we say, oh, I feel bad for this person? Oh, I feel sorry for this person, right? And it's, and we may not identify that as guilt, but that has an energy of guilt in it. And that's our, from a Reiki perspective, from a spiritual perspective, that's our lower two chakras, specifically the root chakra, which is at the base of our spine, which governs safety, security, stability. And then our sacral chakra right above that, right below our navel, is our emotional processing center, where we hold on to guilt and shame. And a lot of times guilt and shame go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. As a society, it just gives you an idea of how much emotional density we're holding on to down there.
Right.
And so it took me a long time to even identify where I felt that guilt and shame. And to be fully honest with us, with myself. And it's something that I still continue to work on, because it's a journey. There's a lot of conditioning. There's a lot of generational conditioning that I'm, you know, we all are unlearning and undoing. But it was through the practices of Reiki and meditation and journaling, really just like sitting with myself and feeling that guilt and not trying to escape it, not trying to change it, not trying to fix it. And say, well, I remember, for example, one of the things I used to feel super guilty about was once I graduated college, I was traveling a lot. And I loved it. It was my form of just exploration. And some of it was definitely escapism, if I'm completely honest. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed it. And there was always this part of me that felt a little guilty that my parents were busy working back at home. And here I was in a different country, exploring and enjoying myself. Mm-hmm. And it took me a very long time to get to a point where now my thought process is, you know, we all, I believe from a soul level, we all have our, we all make choices. It's our free will. And for me, exploring has allows me to express myself. It's very healing for me, but it's not the same for everyone else. And my parents have made their choices and they've used their free will. And it's not that it's not an option for them, but maybe it's not of as value to them. And just because it's healing for me doesn't mean it's healing for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe anything that's that important to us, we make the time and the effort and we make our resources, we find the resources.
Right.
And so a lot of these were just like stories I made up in my head. And I don't know if it's true or not, but like my truth is that we all make choices and we all have free will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I think that, I finally let go of guilt just recently. And you would think like, you know, going into, I mean, we're both Gujarati. We both, you know, our parents have this expectation of us to like go to college, get married, da, da, da. Right. I kept holding guilt because, you know, that's how we're conditioned to a degree. Right. And I kept holding guilt about the fact that, okay, cool. You know, my mom, she's been through a lot. I got to like be there for her. I got to support her. You know, what can I do for her? And it was like, that became like the main focus. And it was to the point where I wasn't even actually doing a lot of what I thought I wanted to do for her. It was just more of like, the weight was just like on my shoulders of like, I need to do this. So this was just like circling my aura for like years, you know. I was like, I have to do this so I can, my mom can be happy. I have to do this so she can be happy. And like, by no means has this woman ever said, I want this, I want that. You know, she's a very selfless, hardworking person. Like most of our, you know, our parents, right? They've seen stuff, they've been through it, they ask for nothing, right? And you know, I had to eventually come to a place where I was like, okay, I want to do all these things for her, but is it realistic for me and my actual being? You know, is it realistic for who I am as a human? And when I realized, actually, I didn't realize until like just this last time around when I went, was traveling. I like met, you know, I was like kind of sort of not really dating, like, you know, when I was out there, like COVID dating, what is that, you know? But it was interesting because, you know, I met it. Actually, it's not even about meeting this one specific person. It was like, cool, here's an example of a story where I met somebody and I was like, okay, cool, they're not Indian. And then the guilt finally let go when it made sense. And what made sense was just simply that I'm capable of falling in love with anybody, regardless of what they look like, how, you know, what background they're, anything. I have to, with that, knowing that, I have to listen to myself, right? Because my body, my mind, my spirit, my soul is saying, I'm attracted to this person. I'm interested in who they are. You know, what, and to deny that is where the block was, you know, to deny the fact that I'm capable of liking somebody that's of a completely different race, background, culture, everything, was where I was stuck, you know, because again, the guilt aspect of it, right? Which had weighed on me for years and years and years. Cause I was like, oh my God, well, I'm 32 now, but you know, until I was like 30, 31, I was like, oh my God, I got to bring home somebody that's Gujarati. They got to be this, they got to be that. And who knows? I mean, you never say never, right? But the guilt aspect of it was really something that like weighed on me so, so, so heavily. And yay, finally I got over it.
That's so powerful because, you know, to add to that, I think one, what was coming to mind while you were speaking was, I believe that at the end of the day, all our parents want is for us to be happy and to have the things that maybe they didn't have. And they just have this a perception of what that looks like, but it's up to us to show them that, you know, happiness doesn't come in this, always come in this box. It can come from anything that our soul speaks to. And from a spiritual perspective, if we zoom out even more, I think about like, this person is my mother only in this lifetime. Like these mm-hmm. are materialistic relationships, and it's not to undermine them or give them any less importance or value, but just if you really zoom out, sometimes we get so caught up in these, the conditioning of relationships in the 3D world that we kind of forget the spiritual aspect that like this person is only my parent or my sister in this lifetime, but really my soul is here for a divine purpose, something much bigger than all of this. And our partners obviously play a role in that.
Yeah.
No matter which way we split it. And so I believe it's really up to us to, as you said, to unlearn and then relearn to listen to our soul and knowing that it is for the highest good, as long as we stay in our truth, as long as we stay aligned with what is truly right for us. Mm-hmm. And not our ego, but truly our soul.
Yeah. And, you know, just to even add to that, like, it's just, it sounds a lot more simple than we were saying it, but it's a matter of learning how to, like you said, unlearning, but learning how to listen to ourselves, because there's no better formula than, you know, just saying to yourself, I have to listen to myself. Like once you accept that, like, this is like, I can't offer anything more to myself other than just listening to who I am as a human. And when I finally came to that clarity, it was just like, it was almost like I could see differently. It was almost like I could like function differently, because I was like, oh, like, you know, having a partner in my life, like, yeah, that'd be great and wonderful. But I'm like, you know, and they'll come when they come. Right. And they'll show up when they show up, and I'll know when I know, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where I'm like, whoever this person is just, it's a part, they're part of the picture, just the way a friend is a part of the picture, just the way a family member is a part of the picture. Right. And sure, it's a lot more like you have to go through a lot more, obviously, because if you're bringing somebody around that your family doesn't like approve of, it's just like, that is the obstacle. But as you and I, like we say all the time, it's like with obstacles come lessons, with mm-hmm. obstacles come learning experiences, with obstacles comes strength, you know? And this is something that I feel like, you know, we both share so much over and over and over with our Reiki clients as well. Right. And so, yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, the takeaway is just simply figure out the formula in which you need to get to, figure out the formula in which you need to like understand yourself, you know?
And understanding yourself is a practice. It's a cultivation. We are so conditioned to listen to the outside noise, whether it's a lot of it is social media, it's TV, the words that we heard growing up, right? We are conditioned to outsource our decisions based on the expectations of society. And even no matter how radically different we think we are all conditioned.
Yeah.
So to really learn to go deep within your heart and within yourself is ideally a daily practice and a true cultivation to even know what a gut feeling sounds like and feels like, and what an egoic fear feels like and sounds like. And you have to learn the differentiation for yourself.
And
in that clarity, the veil lifts.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, because I was literally just thinking to myself, like, I have to eventually at some point throughout this podcast, when I talk to like a psychologist or, you know, or I mean, anybody really at this point, I feel like it's like certain words we say, they come out in physical form, like whether it's, you know, or I guess like words are triggers, right? Like the sound of a word triggers us in some way, shape, or form. Right. And we have to be better at identifying, and when I say we have to be better, I'm just simply saying that like, we can always be better at identifying when our body goes into a state of fear, or our body goes into a state of trauma, or our body goes into a state of like being triggered by a past memory, right? Mm-hmm. That is the literal opportunity point to go deeper. That is literally, there's a little portal that's opening and saying, hey, somebody just pushed on this button and there's a door that's open because it's opening to something that's much deeper about yourself. Do you want to go enter that door, or do you want to keep walking into it? You know, and hitting a brick wall every single time. So yes, to your point, it's going deeper. And, you know, you had said something about like understanding love and understanding like self-love and understanding like what that means to us, 'cause it's different for everybody. And then therefore, when you come to a deeper understanding of it, like the flow of love out to other people, including partners, just becomes so much easier. And you touched on like how spirituality has played a role, in like your dating life. If you could just like expand on how it's like played a positive or negative, you know, role in your dating life.
It's been pivotal for me, because the understanding of love I had growing up was transactional. It was this facade of like romance that eventually dies down. It was like obligation. And so it was basically a misunderstanding of love, right? And the beautiful thing about spirituality is that it teaches you the truth about love, and unlearning that you don't give love, you become love. And in that, mm-hmm. you are just love. And it's really a frequency. And so if true love, the frequency of love is non-transactional, it's more of an acceptance, right? If you can just accept people and things from a non-judgmental perspective, it makes life easier for you. You are able to be in flow. And in that, you feel more comfortable being vulnerable, because if you're not judging, then you are really not affected by other people's judgment. What you put out is what you get back.
Yeah.
And spirituality has taught me to, and there's so many aspects of spirituality, right? So I'm referring to more of, I would say not the religious aspect, but more in the sense of self-exploration and sitting with your pain, sitting with your wounds without judgment of good or bad, but just seeing them for what they are and then allowing them to move out of you and releasing that identity that I formed with myself in conjunction with that or in association with those experiences or those wounds. And so once you peel those layers off and you get back to your center and you understand that we are love and this life is temporary and everything is just an experience to teach us, and we really don't have to judge things as good or bad. Mm-hmm. And in that, I was able to open up this portal to even receive love. It's, and to a lot of my insecurities to dissolve, because they were just, they were stories that I made up in my head based on past experiences. Right. And to go into dating scenarios from a place of curiosity, from a sense of acceptance and not it, and dissolving a lot of the need for expectations.
Yes, that is a really, the word expectations is something that just like constantly plays over and over and over and over and over in my head, right? Because anytime I get upset, which obviously it has, you know, my expectations have washed out a lot more in the last few years, but anytime I do, which is now more of like a subconscious thing, it's like my body tells me that I have an expectation versus like me actually saying, this is what I expect. Mm-hmm. Because my body will tell me like, hey, you didn't like the way that person communicated, because I start having like this knot in my chest. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my, the knot in my chest is my trigger, right? To say, all right, what is it that didn't calculate to the answer that I wanted, right? And that could just, and that's just a simple, hey, his formula doesn't match my formula, but that's okay, you know? And I had to like unlearn this list of expectations that I had, this checklist of like, they have to have this type of job, they have to have this type of family, they have to be this, they have to be that. And so when I realized that I was able to like take this quote unquote checklist and tear it up and start from scratch and say, what works for a Bile? That's when things got easier, right? But I had to do the work.
Yeah.
We both had to do the work. We both had to say, who am I? You know, who am I as a human? Who am I as a person? What do I want? What are my desires? You know, I'm not literally my mom. I'm not literally my dad. You know, I'm literally Bile, a whole own human, you know? And so this, you know, this also playing into releasing guilt, right? And this also playing into expectations. It's like, once you let go of the guilt, once you let go of the expectations, once you come to yourself and accept yourself for who you are, is when the flow of, like you said, love just like pours in, you know? And then you just have nothing. You just literally want, like, literally you don't, the only thing you want to do is just give people a lot of love.
That's it. And in that, a relationship just flows to you, like soul level love, right? Like I remember the verbiage and the conditioning I definitely had to unlearn was like, you find love, or you have to go date and put yourself out there. And that is the only way. And till this day, I believe that you don't find love, you become love, and then it flows to you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not like you don't go into your yang or your masculine to find love. You go into your feminine to receive it, to allow it to flow to you. And that's, I believe, our natural state. And when we move away from that natural state, that's when pain happens in relationships, because that's when the ego comes in. It's like, these are my expectations. This is what I want. And, you know, and all these things that when you get down to it, it's like in 30 years, is this really what's going to make you happy? Mm-hmm. What's, forget happiness. Is this what's going to fulfill you? Or is this what's going to, you open your eyes in the morning and you're like, well, I'm so grateful that I'm with this person.
Right.
Is it the checklist or is it these invaluable values, really, and right. and this need for like feeling safe with a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. that can look like anything in the physical form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree with everything you just said. And the other thing I wanted to add was like, you know, expectations. Sometimes we have to do a better job at understanding, is this an expectation because it's ego-based or is it fear-based, which essentially it, you know, goes hand in hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are we conditioned to believe that if we don't find these traits in a person that our lives are going to crash and burn? You know, it's like we really have to go down those paths, like get yourself uncomfortable if your expectations are not met, you know, and see where that goes, you know, see what's hiding behind that door, see what like you're not facing. And sometimes people don't know how to do that work, which, you know, I get, you know, and I think that that's the beautiful thing about healing work. I think that's the beautiful thing about, you know, self-reflection, showing yourself love and like what that means. Like we're finally in this era where people are prioritizing themselves and their mental health and their happiness and their joys. So we're seeing more and more of these practices coming to surface, which is incredible, right? It's like music to our ears as Reiki masters, you know, and you're nodding your head like, Jesus, thank God.
Odd, it's normalized to stay in on a Friday and Saturday night.
Oh, girl, don't even get me started. You will not catch me at the bars on the weekends. No, I'm kidding. I mean, if my friends are going, I'm going. But yeah, I mean, I'm totally, you know, again, like the idea of like protecting your energy plays in, which, you know, we can get into. But the one thing that I did want to ask was, what are sexual blocks? And how do they play into our perception of how we see partnership?
Just out of curiosity, what were some of the things that you heard growing up? Like mine was like, be careful, or like, make sure you don't do anything wrong when I go to, you know, just like always insinuating that like you are going to do something shameful for the family.
Oh my God. Great question. I wasn't allowed to wear sleeveless clothes until I was like 16. I couldn't wear shorts. Well, no, I could wear shorts, but like sleeveless clothing was like a hell no. My mom like would get so mad at me, but yeah, I would say that was it. I wasn't allowed to sleep over anybody's house. Not even my own cousin. I wasn't allowed to talk to boys until I was like, you know, I mean, pretty much I wasn't allowed to talk to boys at all. Like it wasn't until like I was maybe like 15, 16 that my mom started like realizing a little bit. And she was so strict about it, like so strict about it. And it wasn't until like I got a little bit older that I was like, dude, no, I have guy friends, you know. And I was always the one out of my siblings. Well, I guess my sister kind of played a role in it too, but my sister was like more like rational in her logic in terms of how to like communicate it to my mom. I was just like, screw that. Like I'm hanging out with the boys, you know? Yeah. I mean, the list goes on, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on.
So just in that, right. Just even these sort of verbiage, this context, like think about the amount of guilt and shame that builds up. And when you hear things like, don't do anything wrong. And when we're not allowed to wear clothing that it's just an expression of ourselves, right? So in that comes hiding your body, shame. Then don't speak to boys. So that instills fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we talk about guilt, shame, and fear, I go right back to the lower two chakras, the root and the sacral chakra. That's our sexual center. That's our mm-hmm. sexuality. So if we are not encouraged as a society, right? South Asian society, and even more than that, right? Like just, I would say with society and women to express our true selves and explore our true selves, even just on that basic level with hair and makeup and clothes,
mm-hmm.
naturally we're not going to explore deeper things. And, you know, so I feel like those sexual blocks come at a very early age. And typically they start in the womb because our moms have sexual blocks.
Yep.
And then they express what they know. And so now we have created generational trauma. We've created generational blocks.
Right.
And so in today's society, what I find is that there is a large percentage of women who have trouble climaxing, who genuinely don't enjoy being intimate with their partners, and they believe it's an obligation. So they just, it's just something that they do, or they feel like they have to do, which in itself is a lot of guilt and shame right there. There are women who have never had an orgasm. And, you know, sexuality in society has been dulled down to the act of intimacy. And it's from a spiritual perspective, it's so much more than that. It is a creative energy. It's a manifesting energy. It's a union. It's a genuine soul level union when it's with somebody that you have a deep connection with. And so we've forgotten, or we haven't been taught, all the important aspects of sexuality. And now it's just reduced to an act. And in itself, no wonder people cannot enjoy it, because we've lost its sacredness.
Right. Oh man. You said so many different things that just like so many like light bulbs just went off. To your point about like shame. Yeah. I mean, like I had so many body image issues growing up. I can't even begin to tell you. Just constantly looking at myself in the mirror and just criticizing my body, because, you know, just like, even like, let's say like even pulling my mom out of the picture, there's so many of my aunts and my family members that are just like, anytime you hear them say like, oh my God, you gained a little weight. And it's just like, you can only look at them and say, oh my God, like you haven't worked through this either. You know, you also have shame and guilt around this idea of your body, because you see somebody and that's your perception of something negative associated to somebody else's body. Right. And that's why you make the that's why culturally you hear so many women being like, I was criticized for my body so much growing up. And it's like, you can only turn that back around and say, wait a minute, but the person that's saying it probably has body image issues too, you know,
1,000%. It's just a projection.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I think back to our point about doing the inner work, when we do the inner work, we understand that.
Right.
We learn to not point fingers at ourselves, to not judge ourselves based on other people's projections, and just show them more love and compassion and say, I see your trauma. I see your wounds. And I know this is simply a projection. This does not equal you not loving me if I don't look a certain way.
Yep. And seeking that validation, right? Mm-hmm. From something that's like, no, the only person you can seek validation from is yourself, you know? And there's ways to pull ourselves out of this cycle of thinking that we should feel bad about our bodies. And I think a lot of my clients too, not even just through Reiki practice, but just energy or just energy work or just any sort of like self-healing. It's like, these are the things that we really should lean into to seek help or like break that cycle, you know?
What I have found fascinating is in my work, in my practice, and I've worked with hundreds of women from different backgrounds, from different body types, just such a wide gamut. And whether it's somebody that's a size 0 or a size 14, everyone has the same insecurity, right? Because if we are, as a society, told thin is beautiful and curvy is not. But the thin women also have the same insecurities. And it's like, there is a very toxic conditioning happening in the world we live in, where regardless of your body type, women are told that they are not good enough, that they are not enough, no matter what they look like. Right. And so then it comes again, our responsibility to unlearn the conditioning and really learn to appreciate this God-given body and understand what it does for us. It allows us to live this life and experience all these things and to move it physically, mentally, emotionally, and our body truly is a vehicle for our evolvement and it houses our soul. And there's so much sacredness to that. But again, it's so much unlearning.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, body work is, I mean, I feel like that's just like what Reiki is, but you know, without even going so into detail about that, it's like, you know, the body is like all we have, you know, like the body is literally all we have. So, you know, we have to start thinking of ways of how to be more in tune with our body. Our body gives us physical responses for a reason. Our body gives us anxiety and depression for a reason, you know? And so it's just like, hey, when that's happening, start whipping out all your tools that have helped you in the past and that will help you in the future on how to overcome these things. Right. One thing I did want to touch on, which you had mentioned earlier, was, the like sexual blocks that we experience, and how women have shame around their genitals because of just not connecting with that literal organ that's in our body, just like not connecting with it. And, you know, I don't even know where to begin with this subject, to be honest, because I don't want to give like advice on how to masturbate, but, but stay tuned for a future conversation about that, because that is very important. I totally agree though. I mean, like if I can be really frank and honest, like, I don't think that I actually like climaxed until I was like in my mid to late 20s, you know? And I was like, oh, because I would always have this like weird shame, you know, like ever connecting with somebody sexually like that, you know, just around like, literally like allowing for myself to just be immersed in this person who wants to please me, you know? It was definitely, you know, and with certain people, and now I'm like, okay, I, you know, if you're going to be in my space, I got to feel your energy first. Right. Which is a whole different, approach now, but like just being younger and like, just not knowing. Right. Like that part of me was just, it was blocked. Right. It was just, so I was so confused because, you know, society creates this shame around it. Culture creates a shame around it. Other women create shame around it for each other. Men create shame around it for themselves. You know, just like I personally feel like when we master our sexual energy, we master so much in terms of communication, in terms of connectivity, in terms of creation, in terms of so much. Like, and I don't know about you, but anytime I give myself Reiki, like my hands just gravitate right towards my root, like instantly. And yeah.
Yeah. I, you know, even just the basics of the verbiage, right? Like we are taught to protect our private parts, like as women, right? Like don't let anyone get down there. It's a lot of, it's a lot of toxic verbiage versus understanding it as a sacred portal versus this is the portal where we 3D print an actual human in our uterus. Mm-hmm. And then we birth it through our birth canal. That is nothing short of magic and sacredness and source.
Right.
And so this duality where like when it comes to sexuality, it's this forbidden thing. But then when it comes to birthing children, now all of a sudden it's this miracle.
Right.
And it sounds like a very convenient description. right? And yep. So I think when we start to explore it in a sense where it is sacred no matter what, and in that sacredness, then you start engaging in intimacy with a sense of more self-respect, with a sense of I respect myself, and any choice that I make is not right or wrong. It's just, is it my truth or not? Is it an alignment or not? And I think it's a lot of starting to ask yourself those questions and connect with your womb. Like yeah. A woman's womb is her power center. If this is where the human body is literally meant to 3D print another human, you better believe that there is a lot of power there.
Right. Yeah.
Really just really connecting with that. And I think once you start sitting with it, and I believe a lot of guilt and shame naturally starts to dissolve when we start understanding it for what it is. So this also takes a lot of education. Educate yourself, read up. There's so many coaches and women out there who do healing with like womb healing, and they put out yeah. a lot of free information about our menstrual cycles, our, you know, our womb and everything, our sexuality, everything related. Sexuality isn't just, like I said, the act. It is our menstrual cycle. It is our womb. It is union. It is creativity. Mm-hmm. And I think once you educate yourself about what it truly encompasses, the healing process can actually start, because now you are educating yourself. You're taking power. You're taking your power back, right? Like society told you how to think about your sexuality. Obviously it doesn't work. We have a lot of problems in society when it comes to sexuality. And the only thing we can do is really take full responsibility and take our power back and understand it for what it is, what it's meant to be utilized for, to empower us.
Yeah, 100%. And just a piece of advice for anybody out there. If somebody makes you feel bad for having sex with somebody, like it's an immediate, like that's up to me to decide if I want to feel bad. We have to also as a society work together in understanding that like sexual connection is such a normal thing. And your body will tell you if you shouldn't have had sex with somebody. Yeah. Your body will tell you, maybe that shouldn't have happened, and as long as you're not holding that guilt, right? And I'm talking strictly just about situations that are consensual. I think that like sexual energy is such a strong, strong component of understanding who we are as humans. Like obviously it plays such a role in our dating lives and who we meet and how we perceive people that we were interested in and attracted to. But it is such a crucial like part of how we operate as human beings, you know? And I think that the more that we go into these places that society likes to put this shame around, the more we actually discover about ourselves and discover like our passions and our desires and like why we have them. And I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking just about us operating as humans, you know, about the things that we love and why we love them, you know, because sexual energy is so freaking strong. Like the root chakra is so strong. And so, yeah, thank you for sharing that, Jalpa. That's like such invaluable information.
I hope that whoever is listening starts to feel safe in exploration of their true selves and what that means. And you know, you and I have both been to 10-day silent meditation retreats. You went to a Vipassana, like a traditional Vipassana. I went to more of, it was a little bit more. A little bit different than a Vipassana, but still essentially a 10-day silent retreat. And it gave me this invaluable opportunity to sit with myself. And the reason I bring that up is because, you know, a lot of times there's so much encouragement to like meditate every day and it's all wonderful, but there is something so profound about being in a container where no one is asking anything of you, from you. There, you have no sense of identities or responsibilities or obligations, and you get to just be with you. It is a cathartic experience. Mm-hmm. And in that self-learning, in that self-curiosity, that self-knowing, life can really start to shift and life can really start to feel more in flow, because now your subconscious decisions are based on your truth and not the conditioning of your experiences.
Yeah. My Vipassana experience was one of the craziest things I've ever done. But yes, to your point, you know, even if you can take a day, if you can't, you know, I mean, Jalpa and I have both experienced 10-day silent retreats, but you know, every once in a while I'll have a day of silence, where I literally just won't speak all day. I won't look at my phone. And I, you know, will, you know, maybe I'll just do some tasks around the house, but I try to stay off technology. Because that's me going into my center space. That's me going into my truth. That's me going into and nourishing my truth and who I am, because without that opportunity or without that self-check-in, without doing the self-check-in, it's almost like I'm not providing the nutrients back into my body, because I'm not knowing what's actually going on. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I hope this was a very nourishing experience for everyone that's listening. I hope that, you know, there were some great takeaways from this conversation. Jalpa, I think this was such a phenomenal conversation. And just FYI, these are pretty much normal conversations for me and Jalpa.
Casual Wednesday,
no big deal. Thank you so much for providing all of your knowledge and nourishing us with information on how to do things like release guilt, how to tap into your root chakra, how to overcome sexual blockages, how to navigate the immigrant experience. Just so much, or so much in this conversation that I think is just invaluable. So thank you, Jalpa, so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. And I'm so grateful that we got to have a recorded conversation.
Yeah, I know, right? We were having some technical difficulties earlier, but we got through it. And Jalpa, hopefully so soon we can finally meet up.
Yes, it has to happen soon. I feel like the stars are going to align sooner than later.
I have a feeling that when we link up, we'll just be able to sit in silence and it'll be super chill.
I mean, I feel like when we meet up in person, like it's going to be like, oh, we've met up before. Like I really genuinely don't feel like we haven't met. Like you're not
100%.
Like this virtual friend that I have.
Oh, 100%. I met so many people in the last like month and I'm like, you know, I've been saying like, oh, nice to re-meet you, because I'm low key, like we've definitely met in different lifetimes, like without question. So it's always nice to like, you know, reconnect with my starseed family, you know? So anyway, thank you again for hopping on. You can get Jalpa's information through IG. Her Instagram is
Nourished by JD, NOURISHBYJD.
Awesome. Awesome. And also Jalpa is a very experienced Reiki master. As she mentioned earlier, I've done many sessions with her and honestly, I knock out every time. I feel like my body is being drained of all my blocks. So, she does incredible Reiki work. And you can hit her up on the gram to find more information. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.